I feel better when the Lord comes in and
begins
to work among us. Feel the Spirit of God and covering of God. All the young people 9 years old and up need to be here at 3:30 to practice a song for tonight. Tonight's youth service. And so, remember the last one we had? This one will be just as good. And then, after service tonight, they have 200 popsicles in the dining room, and there's going to be a ping pong tournament in the gym. So, if everybody knew how good I was at ping pong, they wouldn't want me to announce that because they'd know they can't beat me. Brother Doug, yeah, he used to be, no, I'm better than him. No, I haven't even played ping pong in several years. When I first went to Canada, Brother Goss asked me if I played chess, and Brother Ron McNabb had already told me that Brother Goss was pretty salty in chess. So Brother Goss asked me, he said, "Do you play chess?" I said, "As a matter of fact, I do." And he said, "Well," he said, "I'd like to play you if you're any good." He said, "You may not want to play me." He said, "I've never been beat." I said, "I want to play you because I've never been beat." Of course, I was lying. I had to ask God to forgive me. But when I told him that, he said, "Well," he said, "you know, it's been a while since I played." He said, "You may beat me." He said, I said, "Well, if you're not very good, I mean, you know, you're going to have to be tops to play me." Anyway, so I've still got some overcoming to do. I got a little, here's a little doggy up here. All you little kids, look up here. Nathan and I, look up here, all y'all. So this is a little German Shepherd guy. Got sunglasses on and a red bandana. And here's a little meaner animal, a little spotted, what do you call these things? Is that one yours too? Okay, well, what about this little kitty cat? Is that your too? My goodness, Brooklyn. All right. Well, she thought she lost her volleyball. All right, tonight. So after service, so the youth are, if you can, even some of the adults, if you want to, they probably have maybe even a popsicle for you. All right, and I've asked Sister Cindy to help the youth, help Michael and Brittany to get a youth choir for the some songs together for the youth meeting in July. The youth meeting is July the 29th, 30th, and no, it's the 30th, 31st, and August the 1st, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So, I just thought I'd mention that. I know we don't have a lot of time. Today's dinner day. We want everyone to stay. And of course, you don't have to do a lot of preaching when the Spirit of God's working like it is here today. But I do want to mention that I want to say a little bit more about peace. The Lord's been dealing with me about peace. I told you that Wednesday night that the Lord, you know, I was asking God about unity. And of course, the reason I think this is good because I think we are to have a spirit of unity, to want our spirits to blend. And it just seemed like Jesus could be in harmony with anyone that had a spirit towards righteousness. Just seemed like that he had something that no matter who you were or what you had done, he could love you. And you could feel the peace. He said, "My peace I give unto you. I leave with you." But then, you know, to have peace, how do you get it? You know, I mean, God's a God of peace, but still, it don't just, you know, I've been serving God a lot of years, and peace just, I found it's not automatic. And then there's things happen in your life that it just seems like no matter how hard you try, you can't get peace with some people. And of course, there was, and of course, you have to have peace to have fellowship. That's what will bring you to unity. Brother Billy Brown mentioned this before, but it's worth mentioning again that he mentioned one time that unity is more important than purity. Of course, when he said that, there was a lot of background talk about it. That stirred up a lot of men's minds. He just kind of dropped that little bomb. And a lot of men were saying, that's not right. You know, they didn't say it right then when he said it, but around in the shadows, you'd hear men talking. It's not, purity's more important. You're not going to have unity till you get purity. Well, several years he let us dwell on that. Finally, he said, I did that on purpose, knowing what y'all would think. But he said, my point was, is we've got to come together before we can get our hearts right towards each other. We've got to, that it's not going to create true unity, because you're not going to have true unity till you have purity. You know, if I'm not pure in my heart, I'm not going to have unity with you, even if we're together. But we got to get together before we can ever get to a place where God could help us become more pure. And I just thought I'd read in Psalms 34. I just wanted to read here and mention he dealing with peace in this chapter, and he said, I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. That kind of goes along with the song. We just, you know, to continue to have praise, you have to work on it, because there's times you don't feel like praising. You can't hardly continue in praise when you're down in the valley. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. You have any fears today? I've still got some. Sometimes they get heavy. I know perfect love cast out fear, so I know I still got a ways to go to get rid of it. And wouldn't I love to have a perfect love with my Savior, where I love Him, everything about Him, and feel His love to me, and then that flows out of me and touches others. You know, if people who have fell or who's entrapped in sin and fell to its clutches, or held in them, or been tripped up by them, if they can't find forgiveness, if they can't find love, if they can't find help in here, where are they going to get it? Where are they going to find it? If we can't reach out to every soul that it has any measure of hunger for God, they come in those doors back there and they can't feel our love and they can't feel help, I know there's a time that judgment works, mercy runs out and judgment comes, takes over, but when mercy and truth kisses one another, when their mercy overshadows judgment. God is a God of long suffering and gentleness and forgiveness, and He goes beyond what the human mind and human nature, heart, can comprehend. They looked unto Him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles, Brother Daniels. Hallelujah. You might want to circle that all. Every once in a while when you're in trouble, go back to this verse and read that to yourself. Tell God, here's where you delivered a man out of all his troubles. You can do the same for me, Lord, I'm in trouble. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them, listen to this, that fear him and delivereth them. Praise God. Wouldn't you like to, you need to read that one along with it. To know that, God, you've got an angel about me. If I fear you, if I'm looking to you, if I'm asking you for help, you've got an angel. You'll send help. You'll send a deliverer. Then he said, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him." The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. It does take seeking God. It's just not automatic. It's not that you just come to God and he just, you know, that's not, God is not a cosmic Santa Claus that just, you know, if he just fixed everything for us and we never grew, we never went through any struggles, we never came to any understanding, we wouldn't have much character. But God's a God that wants to develop true righteousness and holiness in all his children. Says, "Come, you children, hearken unto me, and I'll teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good." Now here, seek peace and pursue it. For us to have peace, you're going to have to want it. You're going to have to want peace. You want peace in your home? Seek for it. You want peace on the job? Seek it. Pursue it. Don't just, you know, don't just long for it, but go out after it. Begin to ask God, "Show me, Lord, how do I find peace? How do I, you know, how's peace came about? How do you achieve peace with your neighbor, with your spouse, with your brother, your sister, your boss, in the church, with God?" It's amazing that God had sacrifices way back in the law for peace offering and a fellowship offering. That God would you know, say, "Now I want y'all to offer up these kind of offerings, peace offering." And you had to take a sacrifice, a live animal, and kill it, sprinkle its blood on the altar, and then you had to take the fat and the liver and the kidneys and burn it on the fire. It's a picture. There's fat in our lives. It represents pride, selfishness. You have to put that on the altar. Say, God, get that out of me. Burn that out of my life. And if you'll watch God, He'll go to work and help you. And those organs that sustains the natural man or the old man, God's going to destroy that ultimately. We have to get at peace with God and in fellowship with God and our brothers and sisters. And to get that working, you'll have to do more than just want it. You have to search for it like gold. You have to dig for it. You have to pursue it. I was asking God about that. I said, I'm wanting more peace, Lord. Not that I don't have any. Since I've came to God, I have peace in my life. But I know there's situations I run into where I run out of peace. I realize I don't have it in abundance. It's not ever present. Situations where I'm lacking in peace. I'm wanting more of it. There's even men in the ministry that I'm not fully at peace with because we don't fully agree on things. And they have a concept about me, and I have one about them that I'm trying to get past. I'm trying to love them anyway. I'm trying to find out, how can I make my brother be at peace with me? And I know that it takes forgiveness. I know if you're going to have very much peace, you're going to have forgiveness. To have fellowship, you've got to forgive. You've got to be like Jesus. You've got to bear being done wrong, being betrayed, being rejected. Jesus summed it all up like this when he was on the cross. He said, God, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. He just put it all in a nutshell and realized that they were in a lack of understanding about God and God's Son and salvation and redemption and God's righteousness. There's dark areas in their life that they didn't understand God. You know, it helps to forgive somebody if you can really see them. If you can really see, he could have compassion on his betrayers, on those that tried to kill him. Now, Lord, I have sometimes trouble forgiving people that I know loves me and I love them. I sometimes have trouble with that. But somebody that's trying to murder me, outright kill me, I don't, have a love, and they don't have a love for me, or at least yet. And so we have a ways to go, but I still believe in a God of peace. I still believe that there's a God that can bring the abundance of peace. And what was that scripture we used the other night? The assurance forever. Have assurance forever. There's a couple of scriptures on that concerning peace. Somebody may help me find that right quick. I've got it wrote down, but I don't have it with me. Says, the face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. God, even though he's a God of mercy, he will eventually judge. And so, where'd you say, Isaiah 32:17? Let's hold your place, but I'll go over there and read it. It says, the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness. Here's what righteousness, right doing, takes a lot for God to help us get that in our lives. Quietness and assurance forever. Isn't that good? That the Lord, the work of righteousness, not just knowing it, not just hearing about it, but doing it, to get the work of righteousness in our lives where it becomes a part of us, where it, even if you do it and you don't understand it, if you just obey God's word and do righteous, it'll make your enemies be at peace with you, the scripture says. And but it's not always automatic. It's a job to, transformation, God transforming lives, for you to come in here in the kingdom of God and be able to stay long enough for God to actually go to work in your life. Oh, you'll feel him when you come in here. You come in here, you'll feel the Spirit of God like you won't feel when you're by yourself or at home or on the job. Because this is how God works. This is how he operates. It's how he reaches out and touches lives and hearts. And then, but if you can keep coming, God will finally begin to get a hold of your life in such a way that this starts working in you, this righteousness of God, and it begins to transform your life. Like Brother Daniel's testimony here today blesses me every time I hear him say, I was a junkie. Oh God, look at him today. There's no junk. God, he's not in bondage anymore to that. He's become the prisoner of the Lord. But that's a place of peace. You're going to be somebody's prisoner. You're going to be in prison to sin, or you're going to become a servant of God and a prisoner to righteousness. Wouldn't you like for righteousness and peace to have a hold of your life in such a way that you couldn't get away from it? You couldn't get loose from it. You can't help but do it because it's been wrought in you in such a way that your understanding has came to a place that you just can't react in the old nature of sin, but it just, the response to the righteousness that's working in you just comes out automatically. You just love your enemies when they rise up against you. Love's a response. Oh God. Anybody need a little more of it? Isaiah 32:17 said, and my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation and in sure dwellings and in quiet resting places. Hallelujah. I want to read just, I'll finish out Psalms 34:18 says, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. This is a good chapter, saints. If you ever need God, need to remember, God will help you. Read it. Get up in the morning and read it. Say, Lord, I'm starting out my day and I'm going to keep fearing you. I'm going to keep having faith that this means exactly what it says. If you're in a time of affliction, that doesn't have to be sickness, but it can just be afflictions of life. God will deliver you out of every one. There's not one thing that God can't do for you or fix or heal. Hallelujah. I felt something today when Brother Daniel said, do you need a miracle? I thought, we ought to put that up in the foyer. Do you need a miracle? You've come to the right place. Hallelujah. Put that underneath it.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
We're serving a God that works miracles. I don't care what the situation looks like. I don't care how dim things look. Just keep believing that somehow, some way, God is going to bring about a fix for the situation. If it takes a miracle, God sometimes, you know, he just is able to fix it without even working a miracle. Although you look back and say, this is a miracle. I mean, I've seen some things just recently. I've told my wife, I said, this is a miracle. Yeah. When things are working every way but the way that it would normally work, it's a miracle. God just has a hold of situations. I was telling the class in Bible study today about Brother Green's new wife. To me, this is a miracle. What God's doing, God's giving Brother Green a wife, and he's working on a pastor at the same time. Brother Green's marrying the twin sister of a pastor that was in the body, and he's no longer in the body. Now, I wonder what that's going to do. Ain't God something? He's sly. He's
very wise.
He's working while you're sleeping. You can't get around him, over him or under him. He's setting up barricades that you can't get over. And he's setting up. You think you can go back to where you was? Just turn around and try it, and you'll run into roadblocks, detours. It'll take you around a great big circle, and you'll round up right back here. Oh, we're serving quite a God. Yeah, he made Pluto and Jupiter and Orion. All the rest of these galaxies out here, you think he can't solve your problems? I know I'm in the same boat with you from time to time, but when I come here, get in here with y'all, and this great spirit of God comes in among us, I feel like I could run through a troop and jump over a wall. Yeah. Jump higher than anybody else, Sister Alex. Me and you. You get in here and get to feeling this good spirit of God. Just say, build a wall I can't jump over. Let me show you. Hallelujah. Well, I'll just read the last verse. It says, the Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Praise his wonderful name. I'm so thankful today that God's let me be in on this. He's let me be a part of it. He's working in my life. When I came to this, I needed salvation. I needed more of God. And he came to me. I thought I was coming to him, but he was coming to me. That's how God is. You think you came in those doors back there, you know, it was your idea. I've got news for you. God brought you through them doors. He fixed it. He worked it out. Or you'd come in. Yeah. And some of us came in, didn't we? We stumbled in, we stumbled right on out. But God was working all the time, and a little while here we came again. He just kept working. It's this thing about God. He's not forceful. He don't make you do anything. Hardly. And sometimes God sees your heart and he sees you need a push. So he gives it to you. Sometimes the Lord works different ways with different people, and sometimes God, I've had him sometimes just absolutely force me into a situation, but he's my daddy. Spiritually, he's my father, he's my creator, and he's got that right. Who can tell God you can't, you know, you ain't got any right to mess with me? But then there's a gentle side of him that you realize that he's not in this for himself. It's no selfish thing about him. He's in this to save me. He's in this to help you. And I was thinking of that scripture this morning that says, I think it's in Romans 8:29, is it? Is that where it is? Where it says, maybe it's right before that, where it said, all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord, that are the called according to his purpose. That 8:28, they said. I missed it a verse. That God, now you can't hardly make sense out of that scripture. You know, because you're going to go through things where you're saying, this ain't one of them all things that's working for good. But what you'll find out in serving God and trusting him through every affliction, every trouble, is that he'll work that. You'll look back and you'll say, that was a terrible thing I went through, and I don't ever want to go through it again. But I held on to God.
Yes.
Matter of fact, he dragged me through part of it. You know, I just held on and he dragged me because I couldn't even walk. But when I got through it and got on the other side, God worked that terrible thing out. It done something to me. It done something for me. God helped me in such a way. Don't you know Jesus has that testimony today? I went through a terrible, terrible crucifixion, rejection. The world turned against me, but God worked it to my good. It's what saved me. It's what caused me to be perfect before the Father. And he used it for the good of everyone. Hallelujah. What a God we're serving today. My Lord, my Lord. He's got help when the help bucket's empty. There ain't no more help. He'll come up with help. He'll make devastation, turns it into blessing. Isaiah said he gives you beauty for ashes. That's hard to understand. Unless you've seen it. Unless you've experienced it. I've experienced it. I've experienced some of it. I know I'm going to experience some more of it. Hallelujah. Wonder, do we have the words to that song? I thought number one. I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Huh? In my Bible? Things change in my Bible. It's, I can't keep up with hardly nothing.
I ain't in there now.
I dropped it. I was, Brother Sutmiller dumped everything in my Bible out one day, and I don't think I still have that. I thought I might save it, sing it, if Brother Michael would play it for me. I don't know what key I sing it in, but maybe. Is that where it's rolling in? Try. Let me hear F. That's my key. Well, I thought number one would surely be me. I thought I could be what I wanted to be. I thought I could build on life's seeking sand, but I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Well, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. The mountains too high and the valleys too wide. Down on my knees I've learned to stand. Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. I thought I had done a lot on my own. I thought I could make it all alone.
I thought of myself as a mighty big man, but I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. The mountains too high and the valleys too wide. Down on my knees I learned to stand, for I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Oh Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. The mountains too high and the valleys too wide. Down on my knees I learned to stand, but I can't even walk without you holding. Yeah. would surely be me.
I thought I could be what I wanted to be.
I thought
I could be
all I see. He said,
"Lord, I can't live at home without you holding my hand. Lord, I can't live
Blessed Savior, blessed Savior, blessed Savior. Hallelujah, hallelujah. If our seniors would go ahead and start downstairs, I want you to go and have plenty of time to get down there. If you walk slow and you'd like to be a senior, well, just go ahead and go with them. And while they go, let's all thank God for His good spirit and His covering that's here today. And thank Him for the food, the fellowship, and the peace that He's gave us already. Oh, God. Lord, we love You today. We appreciate You and Your goodness to us, Father. Oh, Hitalabohoriandalamahaya. Oh, God, I love You today more than I did yesterday. God, bless our food and our fellowship today and the youth service tonight. Oh, God, cover us and help us, Lord. We're so thankful for Your working in our lives, this peace that You're giving us, Lord. Help us, God. Help us to know how to pursue it, how to seek for it, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, God, we thank You, Lord, for Your mercy and Your goodness. Bless the food, those that prepared it today, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. All right. There won't be any band practice. They're going to yield for the youth service for tonight and the practice and the songs. And so... that